Community Radio, followed by See You at the Show, coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surfabilly Freakout at 6 p.m., Freeform Music at 7 p.m., Roots Rock and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Get in Your Jammies at 10 p.m.
Welcome to See You at the Show. This is Eric Schacht, and I'm here in downtown Champaign with Linda Evans, and we're looking forward to bringing you some exciting information about some shows that open this week, open tonight.
Yeah.
How exciting is that? I don't think we, like...
It is really exciting.
Just when things are finally going smooth with our aux cord and our...
Are they, though?
Our high-tech, our efforts to bring an entertaining show, and we're talking about such entertaining things, you know?
And it's March 10th. I can't get over the fact that we're this far into March already, and we have shows opening. February was crazy, and I feel like March is going to be just as busy.
I feel so lightweight, though, after Maria Gallardon talking about such serious things.
I know.
We're just like,
I know.
But there's a show.
Right, I know. But there's a war going on. And yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
But I don't know. I kind of thought about that 2 weeks ago when the conflict was first starting, and like I was on my way to a voice lesson myself, and I had rehearsal that day, and I was just thinking that there are probably people over in Ukraine who had voice lessons and had a show planned.
Right.
And I bet somewhere in Ukraine there are shows going on, because that's one thing that entertainment, it does. It's what people need to lift their spirits and keep them up. So maybe in some ways it is appropriate that we follow something like that to help people find a little bit of joy in their time in their day, whether they're a performer or whether they're just a theater enthusiast. But I don't know. She just got me. It's hard to get out of that place.
I know. And, I agree.
It was a really important show on the Courier on WFT today. But here we go. And shows are going on. And I will lift myself back up.
Most of them are pretty upbeat.
They are.
Up. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
A lot of Mamma Mia is coming up.
That's interesting. Like to look at like when there's like a global sadness, whether Mamma Mia runs like happen or like people just need it,
right.
You know. And it is exciting. So the Mamma Mia burst is starting now. I think we should. If I had more of like a promotional vibe going on right now, I would challenge our listeners to see who can come to me and. In 2 months with the most different Mamma Mia programs.
Right.
Like, can you attend all five, really?
Right.
I'm going to.
Are you?
I'm challenging myself.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to compare and contrast, of course.
Right.
We have a very serious show that we're putting on in just 2 weeks.
We do.
I think next week we're doing Fireflies.
All Fireflies all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah, so get your fun.
Kimmy Schofield, Cedric Jones... The dynamic duo acting, co-directing, working really hard to bring Donja Our Love's story to the stage. And we're going to be doing that at the IMC.
The Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana.
Yeah. So look on, see what
where our sister radio, or another radio station, WRFU, is there.
Yeah. Maybe like... So. Distant second cousin.
Right. I guess we're more cousins.
Right? but yeah, that's happening. It's going to be the Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights and Sunday matinee, 24th through the 27th. But tune in next week and you will hear all about it. Maybe we'll even have Kimmy and Cedric come in with us.
Mm.
And that'd be exciting.
We do have an in.
Yeah. So anyway, we were fortunate enough this week to be able to bring you interviews with the directors of both shows coming up that are opening tonight.
And I actually... Mamma Mia,
here I go again. You can keep talking.
Okay.
This is our play-in.
Okay. I was like, wait. So I got to see Milo, my youngest, and I went to see Tempest last night for the invited dress rehearsal.
You know that we're not doing Tempest first.
Right? I know we're not, but I'm just saying that, like, should I talk about that in between?
Yeah.
All right. Rewind.
Well, I'm just saying I don't think we have time. Okay. All right, here we go. Number one, Mamma Mia.
And now we're joined by Kinsey Piotr from Community Players in Bloomington, Illinois.
Welcome to See You at the Show. How are you doing today, Kinsey?
I am so good. Thank you for having me.
Well, you sound very energetic for somebody who must be working incredibly long hours over at the theater these days.
Well, that and, you know, at work, but yes.
Wait.
It's that last minute push. You've just got to pretend like the energy's there. It's acting.
You mean community theater doesn't pay the bills for people? We actually have to have real jobs?
That's amazing.
Crazy. I know.
Well, what is your real job, Kinsey? We'd like to get to know you.
Yeah, so I actually work at a dental office here in Bloomington. It's called Affordable Dentistry Today. And my official title is business assistant, but that really means everything other than actually fixing people's teeth. So I do billing, I do coding, I do collections, I do scheduling, I do everything else that is involved other than physically fixing someone's tooth structure. So
then how did you get involved in theater? Have you always been doing theater, or is this a new passion?
Yeah, I've been doing theater pretty much my whole life. And that's actually what I went to school for in Arizona. I did youth theater for a very long time in Arizona and learned kind of everything. You know, we got to do lighting, we got to do sound, we got to do costuming with this really wonderful community youth theater out in Arizona that is called Arizona Youth Theater. Mm-hmm. And they're a non-for-profit. And so their goal is really to just get as many kids involved with theater and putting that bug in you as early as possible. So I started doing theater with them when I was in like junior high school. And before that, I'd done, you know, stuff at school and with church and things like that. But I really started when I started doing stuff with that theater company. So, and I just have done it ever since. And like I said, I started going to school for it. In Arizona, I went to Mesa Community College for several years for specifically for performing and working my way toward being able to have it as a professional gig and have it pay the bills. I did a lot of professional work out in Arizona, but just decided it was time to move on to bigger and better things. So working my way to New York, we'll get there someday.
I think you're about exactly halfway there if you looked at it geographically. I don't know about
that. Was the goal, you know, like if nothing else, only a few hours instead of 6 hours away.
Moved over two time zones, I think, in fact. But so Bloomington Normal is a great community for theater, and that's where you've now found yourself. And how long have you been in Bloomington Normal?
So I've only been in Illinois for about 3 years. I just recently moved out here from Los Angeles, actually. And I've been living in Bloomington for just a few months now, but I started doing theater out here immediately. As soon as I moved, I just Googled auditions near me, and the first thing that came up was cabaret at Community Players Theater. And I was like, there's nothing in that show for me, but why not? Let's see what happens. I need to be on stage again. And so I just went out and auditioned, and it was the most wonderful group of people I've ever met. They were so warm and welcoming and just very geared toward, we want to work with talented, passionate people. And it was, they opened their arms to me and they cast me as the MC in that show. And I was like, let's do it. So here I am. I've been here ever since doing stuff with them because it's just such a wonderful community of people to work with.
And now you're on the show today because you are directing Mamma Mia, which will be opening this weekend. Very exciting. And is this the first musical you've ever directed, or what's your directorial past like?
No, this is the first show I've directed out here, but I did some directing in college. I directed a college production of Clue the Musical, actually, which is an interesting show. If you've never heard of it, go listen. It's fun. And then I also did some directing with that youth theater company. After I, you know, aged out, then I started doing some stage management for them and assistant directing and choreographing and things as well. And then I worked for a dinner theater company in Arizona called Murder and a Meal. And I worked there for quite some time. And I was on their production staff, as well as being a director for several of the shows that were running at the same time and acting in a lot of those productions as well. So it's my first directing gig out here, but not my first one overall.
Right. Well, it sounds like Bloomington Normal is very lucky to have you. You can do almost anything. So that's great.
Well, I don't know about that. Don't put me on a lighting board.
Well, speaking of doing almost anything though, you do have kind of the two-headed role here of being both director and choreographer.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
That I don't know that I've seen somebody take that on before. How has that gone so far?
It's been great so far. I definitely could not do it without the help of my assistant director, Missy. She is the other half of my brain and then some most of the time. So it's really nice to be able to go, okay, I've got to focus on getting this choreography together on this number. Can you go work some character work with these people? Or I need another set of eyes on this number. What's working, what's not working? I need that outside perspective to fully understand what's going on. So she's been phenomenal, and we are a really, really great team together. It's the nature of the beast with this show. I actually feel like it's been a simpler project to do, taking on both, because the music is so interweaved and there's so much of it mm-hmm. with the actual script that it's been easy to just be able to go take it from start to finish. I don't have to figure out where one thing stops and where the next thing begins. And we can just have a consistent style and theme throughout the whole show. So it's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of work, but I'm happy to do it. And like I said, I could not do it without her.
So did you choose Mamma Mia, or did Mamma Mia choose you?
Mamma Mia chose me. this production has been a labor of love for a lot of people for several years. You know, when the state got shut down because of COVID, this was supposed to be the show that closed out that season. So it was supposed to be their summer production, and I was not attached to it at all. And then when things changed, it got, luckily was able to still be done in this season that we're finishing out now, but it was in a different place in the season. So, you know, a lot of that original production staff was no longer available just because of scheduling. So lucky me that was the case, that scheduling happened to work out for me. And I was like, you know what, it's been a long time since I've directed a show, and I would love to be able to be a part of that, because I love big campy theater. It's just so mm-hmm. much fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially right now with the way that things are in the world, I love being able to entertain. And gosh darn it, if Mamma Mia is not one of the most entertaining shows you'll see.
Well, I have a ginormous computer screen and I can't even fit all of your cast on it at once. So I'm guessing that you've got in the mid to upper 20s. Is that about right?
28 total in the cast. Yeah.
Wow. That's going to be, well, you have a big space there at, what is the name of the theater, the community? Is it just the Community Players Theater?
Yep. Community Players Theater. Yep.
And it was, we were both surprised when we saw Raisin in the Sun 2 months ago, that just how big it was. Does it seat about 400 or more?
You know? It's a great space. I don't know exact off the top of my head. I think it's in the high hundreds that we can seat, but I don't know exactly off the top of my head.
So COVID-wise, because you mentioned COVID, what are you doing since you have such a big cast? Have you been masked or... What are your protocols?
We've been doing the best that we can to just try to keep a handle on everything. So anybody who was involved in the production is required to be fully vaccinated. So we let everybody know that before they even came out to audition. And throughout the entire rehearsal process, we've been wearing masks. And we will be wearing the performance masks during the production as well. So they're those clear performance masks. So you still get to see the actor's face. But up until literally yesterday, we were in full masks the entire rehearsal process, just to keep everybody safe. And we've got a pretty rigorous testing schedule as well. So anybody who is in the cast or part of the crew that would be entering the building has had to keep to this testing schedule, just in case. So you're catching anything last minute in case it happens. So, and the cast has been wonderful. We've been we've had a couple of curveballs been thrown our way, and they have just taken it on and gone with the flow and done as much as they can. And a lot of the cast is really grateful that we are requiring full vaccination status for our audience members as well, which is something a little bit new for us. This show, we are requiring everyone in the audience to show proof of vaccination status before entering the building. And then we are still requiring masks while inside the theater at all times, regardless of the mask mandate being lifted. So just trying to keep everybody as safe as possible, including our cast and staff.
Yeah, right. Well, make no apologies for that, because
I don't.
We're big, we really appreciate that.
We're big
that.
Supporters of that, and it makes us, as much as we're going around trying to see a lot of shows in a lot of different communities, we as audience members very much appreciate the efforts that are taken, even though, it doesn't go without complaints and gripes and that sort of thing. I think it's definitely the right thing to do, and you do have an obligation to your cast, your audience, your crew, everybody. So that's great to hear. So now our people know what they need to do when they come. They need to have that proof of vaccination and mask. But when does this open?
So we open this weekend. This Thursday, March 10th, is our Pay What You Can preview, which just means exactly what it sounds like. So if you're not able to make it to one of the regular performances, it is still considered a dress rehearsal for us. But I mean, this cast is ready to go. It's going to be a good show no matter what day you come. So Thursday's our Pay What You Can preview. We just ask you to make a donation of your choosing to the theater, and then you're welcome to come in and see the show. The mask and the vaccination status are still in effect for that performance. And then we officially open this Friday, March 11th. We run Friday, Saturday, and Sundays until March 27th. Performances on Fridays and Saturdays begin at 7:30. The house opens at 7, and then on Sundays it begins at 2:30, and the house will open at 2 o'clock.
What's the runtime, and do you have an intermission?
We do have an intermission, about 15 minutes for the intermission, and it's just a little over 2 hours for the runtime with that intermission.
How is the, now would you, for, as far as music goes, I assume you have live music?
We are using recorded tracks, but obviously the singing will be live.
Okay, great.
So you seem probably too young to remember ABBA music. Is that correct? I mean,
grew up with ABBA. I mean, it wasn't coming out when I was a child, but my father is a professional musician, and he made sure we were exposed to as much as humanly possible growing up. And my stepmother was a pretty big ABBA fan. So I've heard a lot of these songs. They were definitely in my wheelhouse as a kid.
Okay, great. That's good to know. Yeah, because that's one of the things I really like about the show is, there's a lot of songs that I'm familiar with that are fun to sing.
And the costumes, though.
Yeah, and the costumes.
This is a fun show to costume. You've got some up on your page of these silver, incredible tassels and boots and sparkles. And
they only get better from there. The finale costumes are worth the price of admission alone. They make me so happy.
Who's your costumer?
Her name is Sally Bao. She's actually one of our producers for the show as well. And then we've got Ken Sprouls. He is the one who actually created the finale costumes, those wonderful jumpsuits for us. So you're not going to see a picture of those anywhere because we're keeping them secret until everybody gets to see it.
Nice.
He did those finale costumes for us. And Sally has been our costumer for the rest of the show.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew that Ken's name sounded familiar because I think he also did costumes for Raisin in the Sun, which
I believe so.
Yeah.
He's great. He and Sally both are great.
Well, that's really wonderful. So we're going to be coming on, if you're listening to the show, we're going to be coming tomorrow night. So we're excited about that. What do you have to, the way that you are doing it, would you describe this as a show good for any age person, or are you recommending a certain age?
No, it's a great show for anybody. The music is super fun. There's lots of really bright colors and fun choreography that's happening on stage to keep those kids entertained. And then anybody who's still a kid at heart but maybe a little bit older, you're gonna recognize that music and you're gonna fall in love with the story. So it's a super fun show. Yeah, very appropriate for all ages.
Thanks for joining us at See You at the Show. We have our second interview coming up now. This is Misty Martin, the director of The Tempest, which opens tonight at Parkland Theater, brought to you by Champaign-Urbana Theater Company. We got a chance to preview the show yesterday. It runs about an hour and 35 minutes.
I've learned, but like you're in years because Prospero's been.
And just said about auditions because I had another audition going that day. And so I wasn't thinking of going to audition. And just that brief experience I had, that hour working with you and Latrell, we were so kind of like fueled coming out of there, just about what a great experience it's gonna be for the actors to get to work with you two. What about, have you ever done a co-director role before, and what's it like working with Latrell?
I have never done any kind of directing, co or not. And working with Latrell has been literally the best experience ever. I think when I first started, I was like, I'm just going to sit back. And she was like, no, just jump in there. She's like, you got something, go. So like the first couple of times we'd get to the end of rehearsal and be like, okay, well, this is what I saw. And she was like, why didn't you say anything while we were there? And I was like, well, you were in the zone. And she was like, I don't care. So like working with Latrell isn't like, I feel like sometimes when you go into like a co anything, you get this feeling that you're like, okay, my job is to like sit and listen and learn. And then ask questions. But with Latrell, she's like, ask questions, learn, but like you're in the process. So like you're in the mix from day one. And I think that's great because that's how I learn the best.
Yeah. And so would you direct again?
Oh, I plan on it. Yeah.
Great. Wonderful. Because I would have known that you'd never directed because you, you really have a natural way of explaining things to the actors, which is really great. Especially with Shakespeare, I think it can be hard. Because it's not, language that we're normally speaking. So it's great. That's a real gift to be able to get people where you need them to be so quickly. So
we've talked to and worked with a lot of young directors in the area who have actually gone through Latrell's like programs of education and directing at the University of Illinois, but you're getting real hands-on, like this is something kids would pay big money to have the experience you're having. So that I'm really happy for you, a little envious of you. It's a really great chance to get involved.
It really is.
What for somebody who is a Shakespeare novice like myself, give us a little summary of what The Tempest is about. What's the story?
That's a loaded question. So really the story of The Tempest is you have Prospero Prospero and his daughter Miranda who have been on this island for 12 years because Prospero has been pretty much ejected from his dukedom by his brother. And Prospero has a form of magic where he can control spirits. So when the people that he wants to avenge himself on happen to cross by his island, he calls up Ariel to create the Tempest, which, where the name comes from, to pretty much shipwreck them on the island so that he can reap his revenge. There it is. and in the process, I think the nobles learn something about themselves, at least two of them do. Prospero learns something about himself. You get this very, you get the feel of like, what does it mean to be human? Mm-hmm. Because Prospero's not the greatest person for a protagonist, he's not. But he learns kinda how to be human and how not to, you know, have everything be plots within plans within plots.
Yeah. It's kind of a high action Shakespeare, you know.
Yes.
There's a lot of physical movement and stuff. So I know since it's Shakespeare, people can kind of make it their own. What do you think that that CUTC's The Tempest does differently than maybe other people who've seen The Tempest somewhere else?
I think the what we did differently is we still have it set in the 1600s and it's still in the island. But I think we took a lot of the Westernness out of it for mm-hmm. like the people of the island. So like the music that we're using, it's a lot more drums. And I also feel like people, when they hear the word Shakespeare, they always think very high theater.
Right.
And that's because, you know, in from Shakespeare to now in the future, you know, we study him because it's fantastical works. But that wasn't what Shakespeare was. Shakespeare was body. Right. Shakespeare was for everyone. It was for, you know, the middle and the lower classes. And like, you know, it was for everyone. And so we've kind of moved away from that very like high up in your head movements to more into your body movements. Mm-hmm. So I think you guys were there for that. We don't have a naive Miranda. Miranda's a 15-year-old girl who's been on an island the entirety of her life with her brother, with her father in Caliban. So she's not this, oh my goodness, the world is so wonderful, everything is light. She's like, look at that. He is amazing. You know what I'm saying? It's just moving it away from like this very staged kind of, I don't want to say high and mighty because that sounds horrible, but high and mighty kind of theater and right. moving it back into this realm of this, these are real people.
Yeah.
You know, they're real people. They have feelings, they have wants, they have needs, and being able to show that.
It's high action. It's funny, but it also make you think. And yeah. And what's your runtime?
About an hour and a half so far.
Okay. And this is going to be at Parkland's Black Box. So yes. Have you had access to the space yet?
Not yet. Saturday is the first day we have access to the space.
Okay, great. And so when does the show go up?
It starts on the 10th and goes to the 13th. The 10th and the 11th, the show starts at 7 o'clock. The 12th, we have a noon showing and then a 7 o'clock showing. And then Sunday, we have a noon showing, I do believe.
Okay, so noon matinees on the weekend and 7 mm-hmm. o'clock shows on Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Yep.
I know that works. Mm-hmm. Okay, so just one weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, just one weekend.
Yeah, so we always like to warn our listeners, they have to go, you know, a lot of times there's 2 week runs or 3 week runs. So you got to get there and get your tickets. Can you buy your tickets now?
Yeah, tickets have been actually open since March 15th. I do believe you go to the CUTC website. And we are doing it at Parkland the Black Box. We are requiring people be masked. We also are requiring that vaccination cards are proof of a negative COVID test.
Great, thank you. That was my next question. That's great.
And is the cast performing with masks or unmasked?
So we spoke with everybody on the cast and we had one person who works with small children who was like, I would prefer to be masked. So we were all gonna be masked. And then, because especially with Parkland has a different mandate of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so once CUTC was like, no, we're gonna be masked, we're gonna do all these things, we had another discussion. And the person was like, I'm okay being like with a clear mask if everybody else wants to be unmasked. So that's what we're doing. Okay. So they will have a clear mask for themselves because that's what they're comfortable with and everyone else will be unmasked.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a really thoughtful analysis of the process. And it's a good company working with a good school and it sounds like the right thing to do. How is the seating going to be configured? Is it going to be in the round or three sides or how's that going to be
set up? 3/4 thrust.
Okay, great.
And it's a great
place. It's such a fun space.
Yeah, it's a fun space and a great space to like feel like you're in the show, you know?
Yeah, so they put the in an intimate in
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, so if you're a little bit worried about going to Shakespeare, this would be a great one to start with, you know?
Yeah.
I think it,
like worried in the accessibility.
Right. Yeah. Or, you know, maybe I won't understand it or, you know, whatever. I think this is a great one to
try. More Gilligan's Island than Lost, would you say?
It's more Gilligan's Island. If I had to put them, like, one was closer to Gilligan's Island.
Because the different points when you're explaining it, because when you said, like, the 15-year-old was, like, grounded and serious, I'm like, oh, maybe the movie that's more Lost, but then it's more accessible to the masses, that's more Gilligan's Island, and then I wonder who's Marianne and who's Ginger. So anyway, I'm going to go and I'm going to cast the Gilligan's Island cast in my brain when I watch it, just for fun. I'll see it more than once.
Okay.
I usually do. But anyway, well, Misty, thanks for joining us on See You at the Show.